What's up? Welcome to the Wad Ministry Podcast. And I'm Chris. I'm here with Jordan and Dan.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
So, with all of the amazing conversations that are going throughout the country and the world right now, we're taking a slightly simpler-ish conversation today.
Keep it lighthearted today.
Yeah.
We are. We had someone ask the question, is smoking weed a sin? And honestly, I think it's a great conversation and a conversation that pastors should have. You know, I know when I was in school, the anti-drug campaign was, I know, like, we had some really old people show up to our school and, like, all dress up in red. They're dancing and rapping about not doing drugs. And, you know, I had a teacher that, you know, we were talking earlier. He was, like, literally, like, don't do drugs, okay? And, you know, that was the kind of anti-drug movement when I was a kid. And honestly, it almost promoted, I don't want to be like these people. It almost promoted drug use because, mm-hmm. you know, it was a really poor approach. So I think mm-hmm. it's important that we have.
Are you talking about DARE? Dude, I miss those. Those shirts were,
cool.
Shirts were really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Every kid wanted one in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think anyone. No.
Nobody. I wanted a shirt that said DARE on it because it was cool. I had the black shirt with the red letters. Mm-hmm. And then you had those signs around town that was like, we are a DARE community. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, we're DARE community.
Man, I totally wanted a Vision Streetwear t-shirt. Not that anyone remembers what Vision Streetwear is anymore, but.
You're old.
I'm old.
Dude, that goes over my head. So, Jordy, did you have that?
I got the reference.
You got the reference?
I got the reference, yeah.
Man, I loved my half cabs, man.
Yeah, dude. This old skater wear. Crusty skater.
The thing about Chris and Jordan is that they were both skaters or are skaters in their lives, and I'm more just kind of riding the
You're an
coattails.
Ice skater.
Yeah, I'm a nice skater.
You're a hockey skater.
Hey, I did do snowboarding for a minute, so,
oh,
you know.
Nice.
I do. I knew a little bit about that. Had me a nice pair of Burton boots, you know.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Dude. So you hung out with the cool kids a little bit.
A little bit. I was really good at falling on my butt, you know, bombing the hills. Then I crashed every time on the, you know, the course with all the jumps on it and stuff.
I actually broke my hip on my sister's birthday snowboarding. I tried to do this cool, like, sweet backflip, and I realized, like, snowboards are way heavier than I expected them to be. And for some reason, it didn't go over my head very well. And, you know, I broke my hip, and I totally ruined my sister's birthday. I hope she's listening to this right now. I'm so sorry. I'll make this birthday better.
Just reopened that old wound.
Yeah, and now we're going to talk crying. About holding grudges.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, so.
Let's get into it.
So we're talking about, like, weed, like, whether it's a sin or not, and we also can branch off and talk about addictions mm-hmm. or just substances in general and all that good stuff. I would not be a good Free Methodist pastor without just starting out by saying the Free Methodist Church and its theological convictions, since it started in about the 1800s, there was this, especially in relations to, like, alcohol, it was also very much a societal thing where a lot of times the alcohol consumption in the 1800s would leave people in bondage and in poverty. So in a way it was the understanding of the church from how I have read it was really passionate about abstaining from alcohol in order for people to live freedom and to be able to break the bondage of addictions that they found themselves in, whether it would just be the substance or whether it would be economical opportunities or just socially. A lot of times class was also associated with that at that period of time. So just wanted to lay that groundwork there for where it comes from the Free Methodist Church. But I think a big scripture, as Chris and Jordan and I, we were prepping, and our game prep time sometimes is more like, all right, guys, so we're going to do this. Let's take a 2-minute powwow to understand where we're coming from. And we talked about a couple things. One of them is in Galatians chapter 5, and it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but do not use your freedom to satisfy your sin nature or flesh. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. And in other passages, Paul speaks on this freedom in Jesus a lot. When it comes to Jews and Gentiles, what you can eat or not eat, when it comes to indulging in sin. And a lot of times in that sin list includes drunkenness, it includes anger, it includes sexual sins across the board, just these very outward expressions of what it is to indulge in the flesh or in sin nature. So it's important when we dive into this topic of weed and whether it's a sin or not, to keep these passages in mind. And really the question or the motivation isn't to stay away from sin. It's more of like a motivation of what's going to bring me closer in my relationship with God. And understanding that, because we can easily get tripped up on, well, what about this? And start making like excuses or like branching off and getting really nuanced. Because honestly, let's all be real and say we're really good at justifying ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When it comes to things. So we got to truly ask in our hearts of hearts and go to the Lord and be like, listen, God, I want to submit to you. I want to be open with you. Is this drawing me closer to you, or is this leading me away from you? And then the next question should follow up, is this leading me away from other people and pushing other people away? Because those two things that are central and we've talked about is our relationship with God and with other people. So if we start with those two questions, then it can really help us understand in real time what's going on in our context. And for Milan specifically, we just talked about this, is less than a mile away, and as far as I know, the first pot shop in Milan is opening.
Yeah.
Right. So this is going to be hitting the community when it does open, and real questions that are going to be brought up, not just by teens, but also adults. Mm-hmm. And how it can be. And even in our own country, there's this tension because on a federal level, it's illegal, but on a state level, it can be legal. So like if you work within a government position, you're not to smoke or to chew or whatever the case may, however you consume it. But at the same time, there's that tension where at a state level, it can be sold and consumed. So I think that there's a bunch of different nuances that we can wrestle with, and it's going to be something that's going to be an ongoing discussion for us in here in Milan and Michigan and in other places across the U.S.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, moving to Michigan just over a year ago, the first billboard sign as I crossed the border into Michigan is for a weed shop. Mm-hmm. And honestly, almost every billboard after that until I got to Tecumseh was pretty much. So I didn't, coming into this state, I didn't realize how prevalent it was. Moving from Pennsylvania, where it's just you can get this stupid little license if you have any sort of illness or, you know, a hangnail or whatever. But there is a medical kind of classification to it. But so yeah, it was hugely shocking. So I didn't know this was going to be such a prevalent topic when I moved here.
Yeah. I mean, from a standpoint of, you know, especially coming from somebody like me, I mean, full disclosure, I've never done drugs. Mm-hmm. I don't think I haven't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris staying eerily quiet. No, we know your past, Chris, but I think it's actually more common for people to at least dabble in it, to at least try it at least once, if not multiple times, especially when you're younger. And I would say even when you're younger and in walking with the Lord and a Christian, it's like you venture out, you try things, you do things. It's the pull of the world. It's our sin nature. And I don't think it should be condemned, fully, but it just needs to be recognized as like, this is a part of who you are and your sin nature and, mm-hmm. and your desire to seek things other than the Lord, and try to fulfill and fill that hole with other things. But full disclosure, I've never done drugs. I didn't even drink until I was 21. And you know, hey man, I'm not holier than thou. I had all my other vices that I did, but those things are the things that I never did. And I just never felt a draw to do it. It was never getting to that altered state for me was never a desire. I just never mm-hmm. had the pull from it. And I mean, I was in a touring band for a long time, so I was really around it. And then after that, I was like in the professional skateboarding and snowboarding and surfing scene. And that's a lifestyle.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lifestyle, mm-hmm. maybe not so much anymore because those guys are just so professional in their athleticism, but
yeah,
there's still a huge subculture that it's like, it goes hand in hand. And for me, I think when I'm looking at it is I look at it from what Dan said when he was reading in Galatians. It's, you know, it's really, I'm looking at it as like, is it going to draw me away from the Lord? Am I using something to bring myself comfort and joy or pleasure that is not the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not, you know, and that you could, again, we could go off on a million other addictions and things like that or other vices. But I think always in my heart of hearts, I recognized that at a very young age that I was like, this is going to put me in a state that is not my natural default setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I didn't drink until I was 21. And I think it's why I've never done drugs, because it does seem, at least in my opinion, to draw you further away. Mm-hmm. And listen, like weed and that's cannabis. Like it was created by God. God created it. It's there, but you know, we also know that, you know, anything good that God creates, Satan can counterfeit
mm-hmm.
and make it seem like it's really good and healthy,
yep.
and it's not. And we, in our fallen state, tend to fall for that far more often mm-hmm. than we should. And it's like, hey, was it created for a medicinal purpose? You know, it's like context is everything. Like mm-hmm. if somebody used it for to help them, whatever, whether it was like, you know, an injury or some primitive form of medicine, it's like that's something that is good. But what happens when you're just with your friends or alone in your room and you're just getting high, you know, because you are so desperate to feel something other than,
yeah.
you know, your fallen nature.
Yeah.
Like that's a problem.
Yeah. And I think that even when we, you know, there's a lot of questions that I call them park bench questions for Jesus. And like, for example, like when were mosquitoes introduced into the world because they're parasites?
Yeah.
Like, was it post fall? Yeah. Like, or were they around? They just didn't unleash their evil yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like some questions with that, but like to go off Jordan's train of thought, like there are ways, different herbs and plants and things on this world that can even just like with the distortion of it can be consumed inappropriately. Mm-hmm. Like let's take alcohol. And I love Brad Paisley's example. I can be medicine or I can be poison.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make you put that lampshade on your head, you know, like, so you see that alcohol is a great disinfectant. Mm-hmm. Like everybody agrees with that. Like, people aren't going to condemn you for having alcohol in your medicine cabinet to treat an infection. That's why in all the epic action movies, they find like a bottle of whiskey just somewhere. It just pops up like in a storage closet. Oh, yeah, here's whiskey.
They dump it on a gunshot wound.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, this will work.
Which doesn't work, guys, no. By the way.
But it looks so manly. Cool. Yeah. Here, kind of, you know. But it's like with even now turning back to marijuana, from what I understand and the limited knowledge that I have, it can be used other than consumption by, it can be used other than consumption with smoking it or eating it. It can be used for rubs to be able to help with muscle soreness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that doesn't get you high from what I understand. Yeah. So it's like there's different ways that we can use or abuse substances all around us. I mean, this sounds really out there, but like glue, I mean, that can really do a number on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can also hold things together. Mm-hmm. You know, it can hold structures together. And so we have to ask, like, what are the ways that we use it? And I just want to address this one thing because it came up before while I was teaching a class, and it was just interesting listening to people debate. They almost were like, well, I would rather somebody be high than drunk.
Mm.
It's like, let's take the lesser of two evils route. And it's like, that's really not the heart of what it is with following Jesus.
Yeah,
right. We're not trying to choose the less of two evils. That just becomes, we can justify a ton of stuff with doing that. I'm not going to go into a ton of examples, but you can imagine what we can justify with that. So I want to kind of avoid that conversation because also scripture is very explicit on drunkenness. And actually Paul contrasts drunkenness, which was more common in the first century, he contrasts it with being filled with the Spirit. So we've got this understanding. From reading scripture and reading Paul, I don't know how you can be drunk and filled with the Spirit at the same time. Like, you're basically taking away room for the Spirit to move at that point, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I know that God is a mystery and he can use all things. I mean, he spoke through a donkey,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, we have to be cognizant of the fact of Paul contrasts this. Like, are we going to pursue, like Jordan said, the things in this world to fill up a God-sized space, or are we going to allow God to fill those holes for us? And so I think that marijuana can be used in that way where we're trying to fill something that it was never created to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that as a pastor and as a friend to people, as a neighbor, is my biggest concern is that people are reaching for it because basically their lives can be so much more fulfilling with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I would even say that with, similar to Jordan, I didn't do drugs. And part of that was because of my own family history with specifically alcohol abuse, but later generations ventured off into other drug abuse, and I witnessed it firsthand since I was little, when I was younger. And I'm like, I never want to do that.
Mm.
Even when it seemed like people were having a good time, a lot of times I would see just like sadness and loss in their eyes.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. And they weren't the people that I knew that when they were sober.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, why it's a pull of being like, why do we seek that? You know, I mean, there's, that's more of a rhetorical question, I guess, but like, it's from brokenness, it's from fallenness and just trying to reach for something. But man, Jesus just has so much more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, all sin begins with kind of putting your big toe in a pool into, you know, doing something that on, you know, initial inspection doesn't seem like a bad thing. You know, taking something that God created, whether it's sex or whatever, that is a wonderful thing, but it can be, you know, life ruining. It can be, you know, it can be sinful. And I think it's the same thing, you know, so many people I know, myself included, you know, we put our toes in the pool of smoking weed or whatever. And everyone always said that it isn't a gateway drug. But with
sin or anything else, once you open a door, it just allows other, you know, other stronger, more sinful things to push through into your life. And, you know, just from the drug perspective alone, you know, the people you hang out with at church that are not smoking weed, the chances are you're not going to end up doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hanging out with people that smoke weed, chances are you're ultimately going to end up being exposed to LSD, mushrooms, or whatever. You're going to be exposed to kind of worse things. And, you know, eventually that stuff snowballs and, you know, you find yourself in a pretty bad way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know a couple, they were pro skaters at the time, and both of them have a similar experience where they were on tour, they were doing insane amounts of drugs, and in both cases, they were so bad off in a hotel room that they didn't even recognize themselves anymore. And it was the Bible in the drawer of the hotel room, you know, in that, you know, in that state, God was able to connect to them. It wasn't the state that caused, you know, the connection with God.
They were like at their lowest point.
Yeah, they were at their lowest point, and that's what it took for them to be led to Christ, to find sobriety, and to ultimately become pastors.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to see people come to Christ in that way.
Right.
So, and honestly, we don't know. We don't know if we have that kind of addictive property until it's too late. You know, someone has their first drink of alcohol, and then all of a sudden, they're a hardcore alcoholic. You know, there was no indication initially when they took that first drink that they were going to end up homeless, living in the street with a bottle of alcohol as their only, you know, possession left. So, I mean, it is a pretty complicated
It is.
Topic. I mean,
it is. I think one thing though that we can all agree on is that there's something written into our DNA that is seeking a spiritual, it's seeking something spiritual, a spiritual experience. I think it's in, I think no matter how much people claim that that's not true, I think that things like people's desire to want to smoke and get high, whether it's blitzed out of their mind or just to keep their anxiety down, I think that there's an argument to be made that even to the slightest degree, that is a spiritual experience that they're looking to fill. And I think that you could, hey, insert whatever drug or alcohol or sex. Mm-hmm. I think that who we are, we're seeking that. And I think that we've said this before in the podcast, it's a hole and it's a gap that only the Lord can fill, but you have to actively pursue it. And I think that those are the things that people need to think about, when they're thinking about diving into it. It's like, well, why do I want to smoke in the first place?
Yep.
What's the why here? Why do I want to do that? And would I be better off maybe, you know, going into my closet and praying, you know, and seeking the Lord? Should that be the first step before I even dive into this other thing that's going to possibly maybe be a quick fix or get me to some place where I feel like I'm connecting with things? And listen, I don't think any of that stuff is false. You know, and I have friends, and I've listened to numerous other podcasts and in different testimonies of people who have, you know, smoked or taken psilocybin or all the, and they are having these very real experiences, and there's too much commonality between the dozens and hundreds of stories that I've heard to say that it wasn't a spiritual experience. The question is, and the real concern is the spiritual realm is very real, but who's the one filling that void? And that's a dangerous place to be, because there's a really good argument that weed does a lot of good for a lot of people. But guess what? Hey man, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, somebody who's good. Like I've said before, he's not this idea that we have in our head. I think that he takes, like you've said before, Chris, he takes 99% of truth and he distorts it with 1%. Yep. And it's enough to trick you to make you think that what you're doing is okay and it's good. And I think that people can take that and twist it. And we do it ourselves. We don't need his help. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, Dan, it's like we're dummy enough to just like convince. We're really good at justifying our actions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And we're really good at it. And we're really good at even taking it a step further and going to scripture and really, really yep. distorting it.
Yep.
And so I think the big question here that was like before you do it or why you're doing it is like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things. One, along with Jordan's point that he was bringing up about it being a spiritual experience, and I kind of want to air quote that because, like, some people think that all spiritual experiences are good, and they are not. And it's a rated R book, I would say, but it's okay. I'm going to suggest it for mature audiences only because it was part of my curriculum at Spring Arbor University, or maybe a seminary. I don't know. One of the places that I was educated in. It's called Spirit of the Rainforest. And within it, it's about these Amazonian tribes that they believed in ancestral spirits and also animalistic spirits. And they got high quite frequently to have these spiritual experiences. And it was just, throughout the book, it talks about how they were able to go away from that because they realized that it was demonic. And they were able to go and find the Lord eventually towards the end of the book. Actually, so full confession, it was so disturbing to me that I actually stopped reading it and I just did the Cliff Notes.
Wow.
Because it was just so, like, some of the testimony in it was just so distorted, I couldn't handle it at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't even dwell upon the darkness that these people experienced. And so I stopped. Like, some people are like, yeah, give me, like, true crime, give me horror, give me this kind of stuff. I'm like, nah, I don't even want to deal with it. Yeah, I
can't do that either.
So just laying down that groundwork that not everything spiritual is good.
Yeah.
Also, I had... I worked for a guy at the library at Spring Arbor University. I know this for a fact. And he was a practicing Buddhist and a phenomenal martial artist. And he actually spent time in China training over there. And I'm like, what brought you to know Jesus? And he's like, well, we focus a lot on Buddhist teachings and Confucius and stuff like that. And he's like, I was just meditating one time and there was a demonic experience. And I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. And then he encountered the Orthodox, the Big O Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church. And that's where he came to know Jesus, was in that context. And so another example of a testimony of how a spiritual experience is really not, it's not all positive. Yeah. It doesn't always come from the Lord. And yeah, like a thief in the night, the enemy can come.
Yeah.
You know. Or that's kind of taking it out of context. Jesus was more saying, I'm coming back like a thief in the night, but you get the point. Like, Satan is good at disguising himself,
yeah.
like Jordan was saying. So we got to be careful.
Yeah.
So my apologies. I was just shooting from the hip on that. No. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. I'm trying to, or we read that in Peter, that the enemy is prowling around like a lion, just seeking who to devour. And, and through that, like, can be quote unquote spiritual experiences. So I just wanted to add that a little bit to it. Another thing too, I think what Jordan, Chris, and I are really trying to get at in this whole question, and we haven't outright answered it for you with a yes or no, is because it's something that we don't want this to be the journey of Jesus to be necessarily a legalistic thing. It's more of we're trying to probe and to encourage seeking yourself from Jesus. We encourage you to read scripture, spend time in prayer, reflect, have personal awareness on whether this is something you ought to do. And just full disclosure, if you're going to ask me, I would say, yeah, it is. I would put it in line with drunkenness, with getting high. So that's just from me as a pastor standpoint, but the big thing is don't take my word for it. I guess you can, that'd be really nice if you did. explore it yourself, back it up, and the last thing that I would encourage people to do is to go on the internet and start searching for answers there. Cause you're going to get a plethora of opinions. Just go straight to scripture, pray with the Lord, seek spiritual guidance, whether it be from a pastor or a mentor who you know, and go there. And that, I would say, that's applicable to almost every single issue in life. And going along with the same train of thought, and I'll let you guys finish it up or whatever you guys got, is when we're branching off of this, and it's been mentioned before about addictions, a lot of times are abuses or abusive behavior towards things that are naturally good. So you also see in scripture, why am I not thinking of the word? I think it comes with like a P, starts with a P, but eating too much food. What am I thinking of? What's the word?
Gluttony.
Gluttony starts with a G, whatever, alphabet. Gluttony, like food's good. It's an energy source. It's how God wired us in our bodies. But when we consume too much, we can also be, it's too much for our body to handle. We're seeking too much pleasure for it. And it can affect other people, or greed. It's like this it's this addiction to constantly want more, or even envy of wanting something else that somebody else has, like this unhealthy thing. You know, if Jordan, like, we can take an example, like Jordan has a killer flannel on today, and you know, I have a flannel on too, but I really like Jordan's flannel. You know? if I have this unhealthy view, then I'm going to do everything I can to manipulate to try and get Jordan's flannel. Or I will, you know, whether I'm getting it from him or getting a different copy of it. You know what I mean? So all this stuff can be taken out of context or taken too far to extreme. But I'll just say, Jordan, I love your flannel today.
Thanks, buddy.
Welcome, man. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah. I think we can actually kind of simplify the whole conversation with this. I believe the definition of sin is anything that falls short of God's will. And it is my view that, you know, whether it be, I don't promote the use of any alcohol or drugs or anything. I think all of that falls short, and it's using God's creation in a sinful way. Again, not to be legalistic, like you said, but if we use God's creation in an inappropriate way, it doesn't bring us closer to Him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big aspect of this conversation. Sin is anything that falls short of God's will, and that encompasses pretty much everything. You know, we can make anything a sin. And I just think that our focus shouldn't be on kind of approaching that line, like, well, if I cross this line, it's sin, but I can hang out like right before
before the line. I don't think we have this tendency as Christians to kind of want to toe that line. Mm-hmm. And I think rather than that, our approach should be, you know, what brings me closer to God, mm-hmm. not that line of how far can I get away from God mm-hmm. and not yep. lose that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. I mean, I agree with both of you and I think that, yeah, I think the big question is in the big thing that people should be asking themselves when considering this stuff is, yeah, is it going to draw me closer towards the Lord? And again, we could go off of the nuance of everything, but it's like, I say this all the time. I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but it's like, listen, there is a very real battle going on. And I said this earlier, and it's like a battle between good and evil, and they are duking it out over the souls of men. And, and unfortunately, the bad side will use everything in their power, even the good things that God created, to twist and distort so that they can draw you further away from God's love, from the grace that he's extending, and they will do it in such a way that you won't even notice it's happening. And I just feel like something like smoking weed is one of those things, if I should be so bold as to say that. And there's probably a lot of people out there that would disagree with me. Now, is there a nuance there? Is somebody who's dying from cancer, who got prescribed weed to help manage pain, is that a sin? I don't know. I mean, is it altering their state of mind? Are they doing it for a reason that is because they need help managing something that is out of their control, or are they just using it as an excuse to, again, get high and find some spiritual experience? I mean, there's nuances there. Right. And I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question, but guess what? I've been walking with the Lord long enough, and I've been in the Spirit long enough, that I know a sin when I see it, and yeah. I can feel it in my core. And when I'm doing something and I have to second guess myself, and I have to sit there and think about, what line can I walk here without feeling guilty? I've already gone too far.
Yeah.
And I need to repent, and I need to have a conversation with the Lord. And we were talking about this earlier, Dan. I mean, you were kind of talking about how you just had a moment this morning where you just had to get down and pray and just say, I haven't been seeking you, God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's far from, you know, getting high.
I'm not smoking weed.
Yeah, it's far from getting high, but yeah, just yeah. So we're clear. But the point that I'm making is that you need to be able to spiritually discern these things. Yep. And I feel like if you're, and listen, that can go for anything, dude. Somebody smoking a cigarette, it's yeah. like, that's just it. It's an addiction that's being put in front of you as a coping mechanism, mm-hmm. when really you should be seeking the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Listen, it ain't easy, and you're probably going to fail a bunch of times. Yeah. God knows I have.
Yeah, I mean, anything that damages your body, I mean,
yeah.
basically it's yeah. a sin in that you're damaging God's creation. And, you know, you were talking about the medical aspects, and I think most people realize I've had some pretty severe injuries in my life, mm-hmm. and, you know, morphine and some insane painkillers have been an aspect of my life. In no way were any of those situations an addictive period. I never had any issues with that. But in the same sense, I couldn't have gotten through those situations without, people doing surgery on my leg, cutting me open while I'm awake, and, mm-hmm. Feeling the whole thing. I mean, chances are, I'm not going to make it
yeah.
through that situation without,
yeah.
those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I was going to really contribute more, but I am anyways. So I think that, yeah, medicine, counseling, those areas are areas that we're not specifically touching on today. We're just alluding to them and saying, like, some things we don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Other things we can talk about, but there are going to be very specific situations that need to be more processed, which is why we're trying to give you guys the tools to also learn how to discern the will of God through prayer, through scripture, being able to ask, like, how is this drawing me closer to God, to other people? Like, what is this doing in me? And becoming self-aware and how that all works out. I mean, when we're talking about mental illness as well, there's a whole strew of things that we can talk about, and Mary and I are passionate about, like, helping people on those journeys with what they're wrestling with, because sometimes the church has not done a great job when it comes to mental health and has not done a good job when it comes to having this relationship with medicine. And so that's a whole another discussion. Now, I will just branch and say this. You can get prescribed medical marijuana, since we're on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Ask why. Because, like Jordan said, if, like, cancer patient, if that's, like, the only thing they're not allergic to, because there's allergies to pain medication, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, like, discern that. Mm-hmm. And also, y'all remember, there is the grace of God. Just what we're doing, like Paul writes in Romans 6, is we're not about abusing the grace of God either. So, mm-hmm. like, if somebody were to, you know, be like, oh, well, I can just, you know, go to my doctor and maybe get prescribed medical marijuana just so I can have marijuana. And it's like, at that point in time, again, it's the justification factor.
Right.
So maybe medicine and those kind of things, mental health, that's a whole another episode. But just for today, I just wanted to preface it with that. If people have other questions, know that we're not three guys just being like, this covers it all, yeah. you know, where this is just an introductory.
Yeah.
We're just talking about more of a specific generality instance.
And I think too, it's important to verbalize and say that, you know, when you enter into a relationship with the Lord and you start to pursue him, you have to realize something, that we're not of this world and we're not called to be of this world. And so that journey in itself is rewarding, but it's challenging and it's difficult, and it's easy to get sucked back into the world. And so it's easy to justify certain behaviors as a Christian, because you want to be a part of the world. We're drawn to be a part of the world and to engage in worldly things. And that's not our calling. Does that mean we avoid it? No, we have to talk about it and we have to challenge it, but we again have to walk in discernment, and we have to be able to discuss these things, because just because we're not of this world doesn't mean that we're not walking through it and we're not dealing with it. And to completely ignore it and just call it a sin and judge others for doing it is not doing anybody any good. And it's not going to bring anybody else to Christ or into your thought process, which is what we tend to do. So I think that's why we wanted to talk about this, is because mm-hmm. all we can do is share our personal experience, but also share what we know in scripture to be true. Mm-hmm. And we went off on some tangents and we didn't necessarily talk about weed, but weed, other drugs, alcohol, sex, any of those things. I mean, all of those things can be used for good. And they can also be used for not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think it's important that people realize that, because I think as Christians, we want to walk, and not as non-Christians, we want to walk in the world. And I think that the world has some really enticing arguments, some arguments that it's really hard to combat.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and you can justify it.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like we have been kind of all over the place. And I think all of us can agree that we're not approaching this from a legalistic standpoint. We're not saying, follow these rules, don't do this, do that. I think that's where a relationship with God is the most important aspect. It's not so much to kind of focus on these nuances, but, you know, God is going to guide you through these things. And, you know, there's no better way, no better person to seek out than God, you know, asking him, like, is this a sin for me? You know, asking him, you know, where do you want me to go with my life? And I just think that's the most important thing throughout this process. It's, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask us, but I mean, spend that time with the Lord and ask him and ask him to guide you through these situations. And that's more important than anything that the three of us can say. You know, and honestly, I think we can kind of just wrap it up with that before we go on some other tangent. Do you guys have anything else?
No. Thank you for sending in questions.
Yeah, thanks for the questions, guys.
Yeah, keep them coming because we like talking about it.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, people can listen and not get, you know, I know we get off on the weeds, but I think it's important, too, to understand that when we're talking about this stuff, it's like, it leads into other subjects. I mean, it's far bigger than just weed. It's sin nature, and it's the topic is much broader. It's just weed is just the catalyst in that case. Right. And it's important that some of these tangents are necessary.
We're gonna give you a big picture.
Yeah, big picture. Yeah,
we're, you know, we could have wrapped this up in about a minute, but we care too much about people and to just give simple answers and walk out. We want to be able to bring life transformation. So we hope that that's what this podcast is helping you guys with. We're hoping that it can bring you closer to the Lord, that can help you in your fitness journey. As we incorporate fitness into these topics today, we didn't do too much of that, but you know what? That's okay.
That's okay.
Tune in for the next one and you'll probably get some more fitness things.
Yeah, we'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
All right. We love you guys. Send in your questions and have an amazing week.